So my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me." If you heard Jesus say this before you understood what communion was, would his words have offended you? How about this one? "No one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." As a member of a society that prizes the individual's power and right to choose what they believe, do you agree with Jesus that we can't choose him unless God says so? John chapter 6 is not an easy chapter. Maybe that's why we've been hearing it in bits and pieces for several Sundays now. Maybe it takes that long, at least that long, to sink in. Jesus says some hard things here, and John the gospel writer tells us that these hard things turned people off. "Because of this," he wrote, "many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." Have you ever been tempted to turn your back on Jesus? Well, if so, you're not alone. John says that many left. Now, these disciples who turned back were not the famous 12, but people who had followed Jesus around for some time, maybe like loyal groupies following a musician on a concert tour. Now, I call them groupies, but I do get the sense that these disciples who left were more committed than the crowds that just hung around for the miracles and free food. John calls them disciples, after all, students of Jesus the teacher. But they were less committed than people such as Peter, James, Matthew, Mary, and Thomas, people who literally left everything to follow him. They were probably somewhere in the middle, making them probably like many of us. Now, I don't know if you're flattered or insulted by that comparison, but the point is, we are all vulnerable to the kind of discouragement these disciples faced. And we, like them, are capable of wanting to turn away from Christ. Now, this is not a pleasant thought, I know, but it's one worth considering from time to time. I guess it's the spiritual equivalent of making sure we are not suicide risks. So what happened in today's gospel reading that caused so many to desert? What can we learn from it? And how, when we ourselves face temptation to throw it all away, can we join with Peter in declaring that as hard as it gets, it's worth sticking around because only Jesus has the words of eternal life? Well, let's begin with that first question. What happened? What was it that so offended these disciples that they turned away from Christ? Well, there could be many answers to this question. Could it have been the stark language that sounded like outright cannibalism that caused them to squirm? This was one of the reasons the early Christians were persecuted, was a misunderstanding on what they did. The bigger problem, though, the bigger offense, is that in speaking of giving his flesh, Jesus, of course, is speaking of his death. And the disciples are aghast that their leader is going to die, and worse, that he insists his death is the only path to their life. Well, why is that offensive? Well, I think it's partly because human thinking sees death as defeat. Actually, even the Bible calls death an enemy. So why would and how could Jesus, the Lord of life, submit himself to the clutches of cold death? The people are horrified. "This teaching is difficult," they say. "Who can accept it?" This is the same kind of offense Peter once took when Jesus predicted his death and told Peter about the cross to come in Jerusalem. Remember what Peter said then? "Never, Lord. That won't happen to you." So that's what part of the offense was, and that's why so many people left. Who wants to follow a God who is about to die? That's playing for the wrong team, investing in bad stock. And you know, I wonder sometimes if that's a suspicion we as disciples today can harbor deep down, a suspicion that people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hutchins were right all along, that God is a delusion and that faith is ridiculous at best and dangerous at worst. The more I read and hear these days, it seems to me that atheism is the new pink. It's getting cool not to believe in God. And on top of that, we see so many of our children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and friends and co-workers who live day by day as though God didn't matter. Forecasts of the demise of the Anglican Church and other churches don't help either. It can be very discouraging. And when Jesus' death or other such Christian paradoxes challenge our devotion, we can be tempted to give up. Well, our next question was, what can we learn from what happened in today's gospel? Well, I believe our best learning will come if we just put ourselves into the story. So picture yourself there. As Jesus sees many who had been following him suddenly running away, he turns to the 12, his friends, his inner circle, and asks them a piercing question. Do you also wish to go away? Peter's answer is insightful and firm. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. The true disciples have revealed themselves. They aren't perfect, and they will even desert at the cross for a time. But there are those who pledge to stick with the Lord for the long term. John tells us that Jesus knew who they were from the beginning. And as you picture yourself there, you know the question. If Jesus were to ask you, do you wish to go away? What would you say? What will you do when you come across a hard teaching or commandment and think, how can I accept this? Because Jesus did say a lot of hard things. Hard, that is, when we actually take him seriously. Things like, take up your cross and follow me. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who have hurt you. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Just to name a few. Other times, it's not the teachings of Jesus that bother or offend us, but just the harsh realities of life that cause us to question our faith. How can God be loving when the world is the way it is? Why didn't God protect my child or grandchild? Why don't I feel the presence of God when I pray? We all face times of spiritual darkness and shadow, times St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. That's an absolute given. What matters is how we answer Jesus when he asks us, do you wish to go away? Are you going to give up on me? The other paradox in today's gospel reading is that although Jesus says faith is a gift from God, that no one can come to him unless the Father grants it, he nonetheless asks us for a response. Well, life and faith can both be difficult, no question about that. But there's good news too. And the good news is that there is reason to stick it out with Christ. Listen again to Peter's answer. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, you know, usually when people say they have nowhere else to go, that's a negative thing. That's a phrase people use when they're being abused in a household. Or it might be a phrase that people say, well, I don't really like anybody on this ballot, but I have no other options, so I'll vote for this one. To say I have no other options or there's nowhere else to go is usually a bad thing. But Peter is not sticking with Jesus for these kinds of negative reasons. No, Peter and the other disciples are staying with him because they have discovered that he has the words of eternal life, something they can't find anywhere else. And so even though it is difficult, they will wait and be at peace and stay with him. Have you ever found yourself in a traffic jam, particularly on the four-laners? And have you ever found yourself in a traffic jam and you see that there are always There's always those people, aren't there, that try to duck around, that try to pass either by driving on the shoulder of the road or try to get over to whatever they think the fast lane is. And you find them again 5 minutes later, stuck in the same place as they were before. They are racing to get ahead, but they can't get ahead because it's a traffic jam and there is no other way but to wait. They get frustrated. They may even get into accidents. It causes all kinds of problems, but they will discover that they have to just wait in traffic. And Peter, in saying that he has nowhere else to go, is not saying that in a negative way. It's just he is at peace and has learned that the only way is Christ, and therefore, though it is difficult, he will wait it out. Well, this brings us to the last question. How can we resist the temptation to leave our faith? Our epistle reading, Paul's command to put on the armor of God, is all the answer we need here. What is it that the devil wants us to do? Many of us would answer that he wants us to behave badly, you know, to do wrong things. Well, behavior is not unimportant, but really what the devil wants us to do is to turn our backs on Jesus Christ. And Paul's command to put on the armor of God is what we need to do in order to stay faithful. Doesn't mean it's easy, but God has given us all we need. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And we need to put these things on because we cannot be faithful to Christ by ourselves. But God will be faithful to our heart's desire to stay. Well, if you're here this morning and you have yet to be challenged or bothered by the person and teachings of Jesus, my prayer for you is that you will go deeper, that you will spend enough time with Jesus to let him, and I mean this in the best possible way, to let him offend you. If you're here today and you're struggling to believe, I pray you will discover what Peter discovered, that Jesus has the words of eternal life, that there's nowhere else to go, but that that's a good thing. And if you're here today and feel confident that you will hang in there with God no matter how bad it gets, I pray you will be confirmed and strengthened by the bread of life. Whatever your circumstances or mine, all of us are invited today to the Lord's table to partake in the blessed absurdity that the bread of life died so that we could live, not just now, but forever. It's absurd, it's offensive, it's demanding, but it is the way to life. Would you rather go away? The choice is yours. But the Spirit bids you as the Spirit bids me. Come, eat, drink, stay with Jesus for the long haul. Believe and know that he is the Holy One of God. Amen.